He's using the pastoral epistles to teach all of us doctrine. And like last week, the latter times. And sometimes he speaks specifically to the pastor that he's writing to, either Timothy or Titus. And that is the case with this particular passage in chapter 4, verses 6 through 11. He is speaking now directly to Timothy, and he says, "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we would labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach." So, a good minister will be our title from verse 6. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word and the pastoral epistles that teach us so much. And even tonight, may we learn things that would help us serve you and grow in our faith. I pray you'd guide us in your truth and you'd be glorified. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. So talking to Timothy, he says, put the brethren in remembrance. Keep reminding God's people of these great truths. He specifically here is talking about the passage we talked about last week, the end times. Put them in remembrance that Jesus is coming soon. Put them in remembrance about the need for holy, godly living. Keep reminding them of these things. If you look at 2 Timothy 2:14, he says it again. 2 Timothy 2:14, of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. So he's warning Timothy about distractions, which we'll talk more about in a moment. But he's also saying, put them in remembrance. Then you saw there in verse 15 what he said, 11, command and teach. So he's emphasizing the importance of continually giving God's people God's word. Keep reminding them of these great truths, of these great doctrines that he's teaching us in these epistles, and keep teaching the word. Keep commanding and teaching God's word, because that's where the power is. Amen. Peter got this. If you go to 1 Peter 5:2, he understood this when he was writing to the elders. 1 Peter 5:2. And he says, what? Feed the flock of God which is among you. So he understood as well this very sobering responsibility to put them in remembrance, keep feeding God's people God's word, which is one of the reasons why we're to assemble. Amen? Why we need to be faithful to God's house. He says, if you'll do this, if you'll put them in remembrance, if you'll be nourished up in faith and doctrine, which we'll talk about, if you'll exercise yourself unto godliness, verse 6, you'll be a good minister of Jesus Christ. A good minister. That word minister is the same word servant in other places. 2 Corinthians 6:4, the Apostle Paul acknowledged that he was a minister. Let's look at it quickly. 2 Corinthians 6:4. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 4. But in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience and afflictions and necessities and distresses and so forth. So Paul here acknowledging that he also is a minister. And he says, Timothy, here's some advice. You're a pastor now at Ephesus. Put the brethren in remembrance. Number one. Number two, verse 6. Be nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. He's not here necessarily talking about nourishing God's people. He's talking about being nourished himself. And as the preacher preaches and teaches, he gets nourished too. That's how it works, because it's the same powerful book. But verse 7 is interesting. Refuse profane and old wives' fables. In other words, the devil is going to try to distract churches with things that aren't important compared to the Word of God. Amen? And this particular type of warning is one of the most common warnings in the pastoral epistles. The things that he is to avoid and refuse, Timothy and Titus and the pastors. No familiar sayings take precedence over God's word. Amen? It doesn't matter if your grandmother said it. Good for her. But if it's not biblical, we don't want to hear it. And that's what he's saying. Be careful, because people are going to try to distract you with these old wives' fables. And this is all through the epistles. Let's look at a couple of scriptures. 1 Timothy 1:4. All these things that the devil will try to use to distract churches from the Word of God. 1 Timothy 1:4. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions. Always starts with questions, doesn't it? Let's look at another one. 1 Timothy 6:20. 1 Timothy 6:20. You'll find this one interesting. Old Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called. In other words, don't let scientific type things distract you from the Word of God either. That's something. Oppositions of science falsely so called. 2 Timothy 2:16 will carry on. All these things that pastors are to watch out for, these distractions. 2 Timothy 2:16. Shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. 2 Timothy 4:4. 2 Timothy 4:4. It says, but foolish... do I have the right reference there? I don't. Anyway, the verse that I wrote here says, foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. But it's not 2 Timothy 4:4. And Titus 3:9. Let's look at that one. Titus 3:9. Avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. Now, if you remember back when we started this series, I told you what one of the most common words was, and that was the word doctrine, which is another word for truth. The reason for that is because Paul is encouraging these pastors to make sure that that is always what he's giving God's people, doctrine from the Word of God. Amen? Not questions, not genealogies, not oppositions of science, not fables. The Word of God. Doctrine. And what's the Bible say? The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. We're in that time, aren't we? So, Timothy, I want you to put the brethren in remembrance. I want you yourself to be nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine. I want you to refuse distractions. And verse 7, I want you to exercise. But we know that's not talking about physical, don't we? It's not talking about going to the gym. Although the word, interestingly enough, the Greek word is gymnazo, from where we get our English word gymnasium. Isn't that interesting? But he's saying, exercise thyself, what? Unto godliness. There is no shortcut to godliness. We have to exercise. Amen? We got to keep at it. So what are some of the things we need to do to exercise ourselves into godliness? We know the answer to this, right? We need to be in the Word of God every day. We need to be in prayer. We need to be faithful to church. We need to be using our gifts to serve the Lord. There's never special magical shortcuts. Exercising ourselves unto godliness. Exercise is always work. He says there in verse 8, bodily exercise profiteth little. He doesn't say it profiteth none. It profiteth little, but compared to exercising unto godliness, he says that's profitable unto all things. That's something that we should all be striving for, is godliness, holiness, living like our Savior. If you look at Titus 2:12, the Bible tells us what the grace of God teaches us. Titus 2:12, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly. Amen. So, Timothy, I want you to put the brethren in remembrance, be nourished up in faith and good doctrine, refuse distractions, exercise thyself unto godliness. Then he says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. In other words, you need to share this with the people as well, that spiritual exercise is necessary. We need to go to the spiritual gym every day. Amen? The gymnazo. For therefore, verse 10, we both labor and suffer reproach. Now, labor implies work, right? When you go to the gym, you labor with your exercises. We must labor to have godliness. It takes work. And what's going to end up happening is, if we live a truly godly life, 2 Timothy 3:12, look there quickly. Paul says we labor and suffer reproach. What in the world? What's the connection between laboring and godliness and suffering reproach? Well, this verse tells us, 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So godliness must also not only affect the heart, but it must affect our outward behavior, amen, which would put those around us who are not saved under conviction, and their response will be persecution. Verse 10, we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. One of the best anti-Calvinist verses in the Bible right there. That says Jesus died for every person. Amen? Which he did. He gave himself a ransom for all. He's a propitiation for the sins of the whole world. And then he finishes, command and teach these things, Timothy. Look at Titus 2:15. So he's encouraging Timothy, a new pastor at Ephesus, and he wants him to be constantly commanding and teaching, putting the brethren in remembrance of doctrine, of truth, to be nourished up in the words of faith and good doctrine, refuse distractions, don't let them get him off track in his preaching and teaching ministry, exercise unto godliness and share the need for that with everyone else in the flock. Command and teach. Titus 2:15, what does he say? These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Amen? Let no man despise thee. We'll get to that when we get to Titus. So he's encouraging Timothy to be a good minister, giving him some specific instructions on how to do so. But all of us need to be nourished, and all of us need to be exercising unto godliness. And it takes work. And the more godly we become, the more persecution we will face. Paul often said that he suffered as an evildoer. That often he was accused of being evil when he was just serving God. But that's how it works. We need to exercise ourselves into godliness. So Timothy, he says, be a good minister. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for teaching us through it. I pray, Lord, that we would take to heart the need to exercise ourselves into godliness. to nourish ourselves in the Word of God. And Lord, to beware that the more we live for you, the more we will face persecution. Accept that that is a fact. So thank you for teaching us tonight. We love you.